Here today. I don't know a better place to be. Do y'all say amen and praise the Lord? Do y'all do that?
Amen.
Well, good. Well, I want to tell you a joke about a missionary. This missionary had a horse, and this horse was real fast. But to make this horse go, you had to say, praise the Lord, and make this horse stop, you had to say, amen. So this Indian saw this horse. He liked it. He wanted to buy it. So he saved up his money and got the money up, and he bought the horse. And the missionary says, two things you need to know now. Make this horse go, you got to say, praise the Lord, and you got to say, amen, to make it stop. He said, okay. So he jumped on that horse. He said, praise the Lord. Man, that horse took off. Man, he was riding that horse, got up in the mountains. He forgot the word to make that horse stop. And he got almost right at the edge of the cliff. He remembered, and he said, amen. Pew. Boy, that horse stopped right at the edge of the cliff. He said, phew. Praise the Lord. So we like to hear praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. We all need to do that more often than we do, really. But it's good to be in God's house today and be with y'all. You know, y'all got a wonderful church here already, and the people are so kind and friendly. And it's our joy to be here. We got a phone call from Barbara, and she said, Sunday school is at 9 o'clock. So, man, we jumped up early, boy, brush our teeth, stop at Jag, got some breakfast, boy, we flying down the highway. It's not till 10 o'clock. So we got here anyway, a little ahead of time, and it was good, too, to just have fellowship one with another. But it's important that we be together as a family of God. There's a lot of things going on in our country, really a lot of things. And we need prayer for our country. We need prayer for our president. Really, he's fighting the battle for us. He really is. But let's bow in prayer, okay? Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your great love. Lord, we pray now that you will take the message and use it for your glory. And Lord, that you speak to our hearts. If there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior or her Savior, that they will come to know the Lord as their Savior today. And Lord, we're just going to give you the praise and glory for what you're going to do. Thank you for the Word of God. It never changes. It speaks to our hearts. It draws us to yourself. And we need to be drawn to you today. Revive our hearts as God's people. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, turn in your Bibles. I know everybody's familiar with this passage we're going to read to you today. But this is our starting point. John 14, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and the main verse is going to be verse 3. John chapter 14. I know these verses are a lot of time used mostly at funerals, but Jesus came to die and give us life and life eternal. And I'm reading from verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I've told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And here's the verse I want to share with you today. It says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a wonderful promise we have. We're just thankful for these verses that we can read to encourage our hearts in this day that we live in. Jesus is coming, folks, and it's sooner than we think. We see the world system is all set up for the Antichrist. We got the One World Bank. We have one world currency coming to the whole world pretty soon. We have One World Health Association, and we're looking at One World Church coming about soon. And these are some of the things that are going to come. But you know one thing, when all this takes place, we're not going to be here. We're going to be out of here. And we're looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for Jesus to come and take us home to be with him very soon. But you know, the rapture of the church is not mentioned too much today. There's not much emphasis on it. There used to be great emphasis on God's word and what he promised, that he says he will come again one day. And he is. He's coming for those that love him. And we see here that it's not expected today with a lot of people. People not expecting the Lord. I know some big denomination now, on their doctrine statement, they're taking the rapture out of their doctrine statement. They believe in the kingdom age. Let me tell you, the rapture's got to take place before the kingdom age starts. It does. And we're going to explain some of that in just a little bit. But people are not expecting Jesus Christ to come. But we should be expecting, watching, and waiting for him to come. It says in Matthew 24, verse 44, it says, "There be also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man come." We should be ready. For when he calls us, we're going to all be taken out of here in this world. But we found another thing, that not many people are loving that doctrine of the rapture of the church too much today. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, but not to me only, but also to them that love his appearing." We should love his word that he said he's going to come for us. And what a wonderful promise we have in God's word. But Jesus is coming. You know that is mentioned over 300 times in the New Testament. Christ is going to come for his church. Wow, man. When it's mentioned that many times, God cannot lie. He cannot break his promise. What he says he's going to do, he's surely going to do it. He's going to come for his church. He really is. Now, there's two phases of Christ coming. And here's the first phase of Christ coming, is the rapture of the church. It says in God's word, then in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up," or it could be snatched up, "to be with the Lord in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Now that's the rapture. That's what they call the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. We're going to be taken out of here. And then the second phase of this doctrine of Christ coming is the revelation of Christ, when he comes back with us to reign here for 1,000 years, which we call the millennium age of Christ. We're going to be kings and priests. How about that? It says in the God's word. But it says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3:13, it says, "To the end he may establish your hearts in his and unblameable and holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." So we got to go to come back. And I'm glad we are going to go. And in Revelation, the last chapter, he says, "I come quickly." It's mentioned three times. He's going to come quickly. And we can be assured that he is going to come quickly for those. Now, I'm going to give you just a simple little outline. You can write this down in your Bible or on your book or whatever you want to do it with. But there's a threefold mission of this message today. We want to look at the manner of his coming. Second, we want to look at the mystery of his coming. And third, the manner of the motivation of his coming. Excuse me. We're going to look at the manner first, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52, it says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We're going to be changed in a moment of a... You blink your eyes, that's pretty quick, isn't it? So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to come suddenly. And second, he will come as a thief in the night. We won't be expecting. Have you ever had your house broken into? We've been in Montgomery, and two times we had our house broken into. I was never expecting it. My wife wasn't expecting it. We were at the church and working and doing everything, and somebody broke in our house. But that's the way it is with the Lord. People not expecting. We're on our merry way. We're doing this. Going on our way. We're all involved with all kinds of different things. But it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, "For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as a thief in the night." He will come as a thief in the night. We're not going to be expecting it, and he's going to come. He's going to snatch us all out of here. And then the unknown time. Nobody knows the time. I can't tell you the day or hour when Jesus might come, but he's coming. He's coming for those that love him and are born again from the Lord Jesus. Not a church member. A lot of church members today, but a lot of people are not saved. They don't know the Lord as their Savior. But nobody knows the hour or the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. It says in Matthew 24, 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He only knows the one. Then it says, "Watch." Are we watching? Are we watching for the Lord to come? "Therefore, for you know not what the hour your Lord does come." Don't be looking for signs. Be listening for the trumpet. There's no signs of the rapture of the church. The trumpet sounds, and we're caught up. We'll be with the Lord. But this is a wonderful message that we have in Christ coming for his church. I remember hearing a story of a young preacher. Just started a new church, and it was a small church. And he was preaching on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he kept emphasizing, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. The guy slipped and fell and laid his lap. He was so embarrassed, he apologized. And the lady said, "I knew you were coming. I should have got out of the way, you know." But the Lord is coming. We should be expecting him to come for those that love him. Now turn with me in your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians, please. First Thessalonians chapter 4, we see the man of his coming. He's going to come suddenly, he's going to come unexpected, and we don't know the time when he will come. But now we want to look at the mystery. There's a couple mysteries of his coming, and we're going to start with verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So those, our loved ones in the grave that know the Lord as their Savior, when the trumpet sound, it says the dead in Christ shall be raised from the dead. The resurrection of the body. And that's one thing we'd be sure. It seems like a mystery, but it's a promise from God's word. And then look at the second one. It says here, the second one is verse 17. It says, "For we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord." I like that word, together. You know, as a body of people, those who are saved and know Jesus Christ, when that trumpet sounds, we're going to go to be with the Lord together. What a wonderful day that's going to be. We're going to be with him for all eternity. And thank the Lord that that's what he promised for us as child of God. He's coming. So we see the two mysteries. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain shall be caught up or snatch up or rapture up to be with the Lord in the air. And that's going to be a glorious day. It might be people riding down the road. You rapture right out of your car. What a glorious day that would be. Might be somebody in the home. Might be a school teacher. Be raptured right out of the students' lives. And here's the third thing I want to give to you. We're going to look at the motivation. We see here in God's word today, we see the manner of his coming, the mystery of his coming, and now the motivation of his coming. What will it cause you and me to do as God's people, knowing that he's coming soon? Remember, the president and his cabinet, they made a peace agreement just recently with Israel, the Saudi Arabias, Lebanon, and the peace treaty is in process right now. So we know the Lord's coming. He's telling us he's coming. We know a lot of things going on in this our country right now. And they try and get us all under one world government system with socialism. It's right there. And like we said before, we need to vote. We need to vote. On the average year of people voting for a president election, the average percentage is 37% Christian vote. Now, the last election we voted Trump in, it was 70% the last time. So Christians are taking our right to vote. It is very important. Now let's look at the motivation of his coming. He wants God's people to be different in this world. As it says in the Word, he wants to live a separated life, that people know there's something different about our lives. You know that? And something should be different about us. People say, hey, it's something about I have the guys that express, it's just something different about you when you go in there. What is it? Why do you have all this joy, you know? And you care for us, you know? You want to share God's good news with people. The Lord knows that we are different. We should be different. As it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation or creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And like an old farmer, he has a mule. He wasn't saved. When he got saved, he went out there to plow the field. He was singing hymns. The mule wouldn't go because he was different. He had a different life, you know. And that's the way it should be. We should know that Jesus loves us, and he wants us to love people and tell them about Jesus. But it says in right, come out from among you and be ye separate, said the Lord. He wants us to have a separated life. He wants us to be motivated to live a holy life. Now, I'm not talking about that things we see. You know, the way we dress, it might be, or the way we carry our Bible. I know some people like to carry a big old family Bible under their arm, showing that they're a Christian. You don't do it that way, do you? Man, I would go in a place with a big old Bible, man, I think I was kind of crazy. But it's in the heart. It's in the heart that makes a difference. And going to church, Sunday school, I know people are going to church and Sunday school all their life and got all kind of pins for being in perfect attendance, and they never were saved. They got saved before they passed away. All those things are good, but they won't get you to heaven. They won't get you to heaven. But the second thing we need to do in our motivation, not only to live a holy life, and of course it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. God expects his people to be separated from this world that we live in. They know that we're serious about Jesus. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He's called us. He's called us to be separate, that we love the Lord above everything else. But let's look at something else. His coming should motivate us to pray. Now, when I'm talking about prayer, I mean serious praying. Don't pray like the little boy. He prayed the same prayer every night. He got tired of praying the same prayer every night. He wrote it on a piece of paper, and right beside his bed, he pasted it on the wall. And the next night he went over there to pray, he said, Lord, there it is, and jump in bed. He don't want it to be like that, you know. He wants to be serious about praying for our missionaries, praying for our church, praying for your pastor to be here. The one you want, what God wants, not what you want, but what God wants. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for our country. We need to pray for those in leadership of our nation. I heard this quote one time. Well, I read a book on E.M. Bonds on prayer. And he said this. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. What we need in the church, we need power. And that comes from God's people praying and expecting God to do something. You know? We come to church and we don't really expect God to do anything. And he wants to do something. He's knocking at our heart's door. And he wants to come in. He wants to work in your life, in my life. He wants to be in our life. But it's by praying. R.A. Torrey says this. Pray for great things. Expect great things. Work for great things. Above all, pray. We can do a lot of things, but we don't pray, it has no impact on anybody. Now, I used to be in charge at Calvary Baptist Church in Montgomery of the mission program. The Lord gave me a desire to do the mission program. And we have like 14 missionaries come in, and all the main success was the prayer. God's people praying, the staff praying, the missionaries coming in and praying. And God did a wonderful work in hearts and life. It's like a revival, really. I don't know y'all have missions conference here, but you ought to have one. It'll really make a difference in all of your lives. It really will. Even had Brother Steve and Barbara come to our missions conference. But it's nothing like it. Seeing we make a faith promise to trust God for a certain amount. It started pretty low and we went on up. And when I left, we were given $300,000 to missions. It's because people pray and believe. And one of our pastors, he loved missions. And we have a thermometer and we start bringing the faith promises coming in, and they start tallying it all up, and the monitors start going up. Man, he'd be on the front row. He'd jump straight up in there. So excited what God did, and people not giving their time or their talent, but seeing God work in hearts and life is given to missions. But he wants us to do that. He wants us to pray. Another thing that's so important in our motivation, unwavering in serving the Lord. We should always want to serve the Lord. Everybody should give themselves. And let me challenge all of y'all. All y'all come here Sunday from Sunday. I want to challenge each one of y'all to pray what God wants you to do here at this church. When's the last time you invited somebody to come to this church? It can be a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a worker, acquaintance. It could be that. But just imagine if everybody brought one next Sunday. What? You'd have a crowd here. The Lord don't want empty pews. He wants full pews. He wants us. But it says here in God's Word, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. What you do for the Lord is not in vain. You know, man might forget what you're doing here, but the Lord will not forget one time. It says in Hebrews that the Lord will not forget your labor of love. He will not forget it. You may think that nobody think and you take notice of it, but the Lord does. He takes notice of it. It should motivate us to serve the Lord. And then another thing is very important. Turn around and go to Hebrews just a moment. Hebrews. And I'd like for you to go to chapter 10 for just a moment. Let's look at verse 25. In verse 25, it says this. As we see the day approaching when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to call his church home, this is what we need to be. Look at it, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I like that word together. Remember I told you about the rapture of the church? We're going to be raptured up together. And here it says, in verse 20, for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We see it. It's coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming for his church. And you know, in Revelation chapter 4, when you get to Revelation chapter 4, remember the seven churches of Asia Minor had all been brought before the Lord? And the angel says, come up here. He's calling the church up to heaven. And we're in heaven in chapter 4. And you know, after chapter 4, the church is never mentioned again on earth again. We're all up there celebrating. We're going to be celebrating, praising God, and we're going to sing. We're going to all sing on key. We won't have to worry about anything. We'll be singing glory to God in the highest, that's for sure. But he tells us not to forsake our assembly together. We need to be in our place at the right time. I know y'all know this man when I tell you his name. J.C. Penney, have you ever heard that name before? He owns stores. back in the Depression, he'd lost everything. And they called him Tight Penny. He wouldn't give his wife any money. He wouldn't give his children any money. And the Lord did a work in his life. And he had a breakdown for it. The Lord worked in his life. Sometimes the Lord has to get you down before he can pull you up, you know. And J.C. Penney was in a rehabilitation place. And the nurse said, J.C. Penney, would you like to go see, hear the preacher preach today and hear some good music? And he hadn't been going. He didn't go to church much. He said, yes, I'll go today. I will. So the nurse put him in the wheelchair and rolled him down there. And you know the song they were singing when he opened the door? God will take care of you. He heard the gospel message of salvation. J.C. Penney received Christ as his Savior, and it completely changed his life. He gave 90% of his money to the Lord and kept 10% for his own self. He supported missionaries, pastors, churches. Do you know that J.C. Penney had the largest Sunday school in America? Over 2,000 members in his class. So the Lord can do that in his life. He can do it in our life. It's by a nurse taking him this little time and saying, you'd like to go down to chapel service today? And she rolled him down there. God will take care of you. Boy, that just opened his heart, you know, right there. And it just made a difference in his life. But and that third thing it should motivate us to do as God's people, he wants us to be a witness. He wants us to be a witness for him. And it says in God's word in Proverbs 11:30, I think you all know this one, it says, he that wins souls is wise. And one thing the Lord wants us to do is be soul winners. Now, remember this. Sometimes we don't always see the result of our soul winning. Some will plant, some will water, but remember, it's God that brings the increase. But we've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful wherever you go. The filling station getting gas, or where or the grocery store, or wherever you might be. Or at Walmart. I love to give gospel tracts at Walmart. That's a mission field in itself. But he wants us to be a witness for him. Tell the untold story about Jesus and his love and grace that he has for us. Turn back to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, I'm going to read this one verse. Listen to it. Verse 3, it says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Wow, what a wonderful promise there. We see the manner. We see the I lost my thought. Hold on just a minute. Let me get it. The manner of his coming. Mystery and also the motivation. You know, when you're 77 years old, those things kind of slip. But anyway, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be ready. I will come again. And what is he going to do when he comes? What's that verse? What's that next word? Receive you into myself. He's your Lord and Savior. He's going to receive you. And then it says that where I am, there you may be also. Wow, what a wonderful promise we have from the Lord. He's coming. And who's he coming for? He's coming for those that redeem and know Jesus Christ their Savior. Let me add, you have made room for Jesus in your life? I believe there's four things we need to know to get saved. I think the first thing, we got to get lost before we can get saved. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. We're born sinners. We're born sinners. We're guilty, it says in Romans. We're guilty before God. The second thing we got to realize, that God loves you. I like that verse y'all have on the wall over here, right over here. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ did what? What did he do? He died for us. He died. He shed his blood. He died. And then the third thing we got to realize, we can't save ourselves. It don't matter how hard we might try, we cannot save ourselves. And y'all know this, and I think that right over there, I think. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is what? What is it? Do you have to buy a gift? You have to earn it? You got to work for it? It's just what it is. It's a gift from God. But we're saved by faith. Now, let me ask you, how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Who's the author of faith? Hebrews 12:2, it says, look unto Jesus, who's the what? Author and the finisher of faith. How much faith do you need? A whole bunch, a big old bucket load? Is this it? Enough faith as a mustard seed. I know y'all try planting some mustard seeds in your life. They're the tiniest seeds. It don't take much faith, does it? But you gotta believe. And then the third thing, the last thing you got to do, you got to want to be saved in order to be saved. God cannot save anybody that don't want to be saved. In Revelation it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come in. When I went to Guatemala, all the villages out there, they have no doorknobs on the outside. Only way you can get in, by the people letting you come in. And that's the same way with us. We got the doorknob on the inside, and we got to open it up. We got to let Jesus come in into our life. And it says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Now what does that really mean? What do I have to do? You got to confess with your mouth that you're a sinner. You got to believe that Jesus is going to save you. And you got to invite him to come in by faith. And when we do that, he's going to do one thing. He's going to keep his word. He's going to save you. He's going to make you a new creature. You're going to have more desires than you ever had desire, the right desires for the Lord. He might even use you to be a missionary. By the way, either you're a missionary or you're a mission field. Which one are we here today? We're a missionary or we're a mission field? Lord loves you. And he's coming. His promise is true that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is coming again. And he's coming for you and me, those that love him. We might be sitting in this church one day. The trumpet sound, we're gone. What a day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye shut. Maybe you never asked Christ to be your Savior. But he wants you to be saved. Like when I was 12, I joined the church, got baptized. I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved until I was about 16, 17 maybe. And somebody showed me how to be saved. We got to want to be saved. We got to ask Christ to be our Savior. And maybe you are saved. Let me ask you another question. What are you doing for Christ right now? You just warming a pew? Or are you coming serving and being a part of this work and serving? Maybe you're not a member of this church. You'd like to be. You can be today if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to give an invitation. I'll be standing at the front. If the Lord is speaking to you about anything, about your prayer life, or whatever it might be. You'd like me to come up and pray, I'll pray with you. If you want to be saved, I'll show you how to be saved. Let's bow in prayer and we'll sing a song. Lord, we thank you for the message today. We pray that you just use it for your glory. We thank you for your blessing upon us as God's people. And Lord, we know that you're coming for your believers. It's soon. I would not want anybody in this church right here leave this world without Jesus. And I know you wouldn't either, Lord. And we just pray now that you will work in our hearts. We know the Holy Spirit convicts of our sins. He convinces us and he converts us. He's the only one that does it. So we ask you now as we give this invitation that people come to know you as their Savior if they're not saved. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.